So I'm going to share with you all a psalm and a bit of reflection on that psalm. So just a bit of the reason why I'm sharing this psalm is the last couple of weeks and in seasonal guides we've been talking about prayer. I often, when I pray, I don't know the words to say, so something that I do is I go to the Psalms, like many people before me, probably many people after me. So I thought that I will share one of the Psalms that I think has been quite powerful for me. So I'll just read that to you, and then I'll just tell you a bit of reflection I have on that. So the Psalm is Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. Will man say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember. As I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So I find that psalm quite powerful. I feel like it often speaks to me in times that have been a bit hard for me. And I know that many other people throughout many other generations have felt the same thing. And that's something that I find so powerful about the psalms, is to know that these have been read, spoken and shared for so many years from so many different people. So this psalm is one of the exile psalms, and the Israelites were in exile in Babylon, and so it's that feeling disconnected from the church but still having that desire to be close to God. And I have felt that many times throughout my journey and throughout my life. So I wanted to share that with you all today.
So just following on from Petra's reflection, I thought I would share a bit of a reflection on New Testament reading. I kind of looked at the lectionary, kind of decided to do what I wanted to instead. It's loosely adjacent. I've been a little bit crook lately, so please, first of all, forgive the sniffles, but it's also a bit feverish at the end, so kind of, that's where we're headed, kind of breakneck queer theory vibes. So the lectionary reading was from 1 John chapter 2, but we're going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And in the translation I was using, there's a note on that word, perfected, which says it means something like matured, or like fully matured. So we can't see God, but as we love, maturing in our understanding of love and of God, then that's how we see him in the world. So yeah, Whānau, we're gathered here to celebrate one of the many expressions of God's unbounded love, of God's bigness and grace and creative expressive joy. We're here to celebrate and draw attention to the joyful diversity of the queer community and all who call this place and this God our home. When I prayed about what to talk about tonight, I remembered that I've had a song, a piece of classical music, stuck in my head for about a week called A Love Worth Fighting For. And I think the whole phrase and also the ideas of loving and fighting are at the heart of both queer and Christian communities. Not because we're necessarily particularly militant people, but just because there's this shared staunchness, this shared and continual saying yes to a clear vision of abundant life, of communities that live and love and work together. And that love and life, as that reading shows us, comes from God, is of God, but also is God. And so whenever we love our friends and our partners and our communities, that's us putting more of God into the world. I also think that it's worth remembering that there are really valid reasons to be angry and hurt and frustrated, particularly as queer people within the church, and as people of conscience, whether or not we're in the queer community. Queer people have been and continue to be denied healthcare, access to other services, even education. We've had our love and our marriages made less. We have died at the hands of individuals and the state, and for Indigenous and our whanau of colour, this has been magnified by order of the violence of colonization and of racism. So these are like really true things. These are material realities in the world. And alongside these true things, not overcoming it or saying that they're not important, it's a co-truth, is that God has said the arc of the universe bends towards justice. The arc of the universe bends towards relationships made right. And one of the things that the church community can learn from queer communities is how to have a more expansive, creative, even joyfully strange vision of what right relationship means and what these good and restored relationships are and can be. I think I quoted her the last time we spoke, or I spoke to you, but possibly I just quote her in every conversation. There's a theology student I love who, when she was asked about trans people and how they belong to in or fit within the church, she said, for everyone, proximity to God takes refashioning, and God knows that it matters how we name ourselves. The things that God has historically asked and continually asks of his prophets and of his people is never stand still. It's never do less loving. The things God asks and continues to ask of us is, in the words of Rainer Maria Rilke, to go to the limits of our longing, to flare up like a flame, and make big shadows that he can move in. And that's the story we see with Moses, with Daniel, with the disciples, with Ruth and Esther and Rahab. Transformation can be really hard and messy, and we can also choose to deny it if we want. But the stories of the Bible and of our own communities show us that God's will is towards life lived fully, towards things made new and relationships made right. For me, that's meant learning how to renovate my heart and my body towards being a man after God's own heart in a way that wasn't possible for me as a woman. For you, that might mean exploring your own understanding of what partnership means with a sort of holy curiosity. That might mean thinking about what love looks like outside of romantic or sexual love, which our ace and our aromantic siblings really beautifully embody. It can mean a whole lot, which, when you approach it with this kind of posture of curiosity and, really critically, with other people in community, these questions can make our understanding of God and our relationship to him and the world like deeper and better and richer. And so if we look at the world God created, in all its refusal to fit into neat categories, in all its profligate wonder and creative diversity, we can learn from our queer community, learn about God and love and transformation, being staunch and welcoming communities that are rooted and grounded in love. And in all of that, we lean constantly on that extraordinary grace of God, that God sent his son to live and love on earth with us, not because we loved him well enough to deserve this, but because he first loved us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected, matured, grown, and made perfect in us. So before we enter a time of worship, I want to share this litany of belonging together, which I've adapted from a source that I've immediately forgotten and not written down. It's not entirely my own words, but it's also not entirely not my own words. So they're going to be up on the screen.
Plagiarism 101.
It's not plagiarism if you acknowledge it's we're going to have the words up on the screen. I'll read the bits not in bold, and we can read the bits in bold together. To become is a lifelong process. We evolve in the midst of narratives meant only for some, and ways of being made narrow by fear and power. We must then have the courage to listen to the truth of our own lives, to the wisdom that comes from our bearing God's image, responding without resistance or need to control, but with welcome and curiosity. This is what ensures our becoming is an unfolding of our truest self. This lifelong labor cannot be carried out alone. It requires help from friends and lovers, family, community, and those who witness what makes us come alive and say to us, listen, look, feel, pay attention to that.
This is loving and being loved.
Telling stories, sharing memories, giving thanks for the relationships, understandings, and experiences that have shaped us to this day.
This is loving and being loved.
Listening to the future calling uniquely to each of us in the midst of all of life's noise. Helping one another find our place in the shared labor of collective life. Supporting each other in what it is the world, in what the world's ache is asking from us.
This is loving and being loved.
To say for the first time, this is who I am. This is the truth of my body. This is what I know about myself. This is my name, and this is where my path is leading me. And to have it received, have it affirmed, and then to say it again and again as we change and as the world changes, and to have each proclamation greeted with an open-armed embrace.
This is loving and being loved.
There is no me without you. We shape one another. The God that created us weaves our lives together so that we can only find ourselves through shared becoming, for my journey and all its winding ways, and for yours. For all the saints who labored for what it is, all the kin whose lives made ours possible, for all those yet to come, for whom living our truths today mean possibilities opening for them tomorrow, we pause, we give thanks, we acknowledge.
This is loving and being loved.
So as we come into a time of worship, let us worship to declare our praise.